Today's daf is Yuma Daf Nun Dalet, and we are at the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Sara bas Batya, Rafal Yaakov ben Rachel Chava, and Aryeh Eliezer ben Malka. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus via Cheskel Shragi ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned for Idli Nishmas Avram ben Yibod Lechayim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chayim. So the Mishnah is continuing to discuss the Seder Avoida on Yom Kippur, and as in previous Dafin, the Gemara is going to immediately digress. I feel like we say this a lot, and discuss not so much the Avoida, but rather another fascinating topic, a topic that came up recently in Masechta Shkolin, and that is the whereabouts of the Aron post Churban Bayis Rishon. But first, a Mishnah that is going to start describing the Avoida of Yom Kippur very quickly. We're going to also go through it very quickly. And Be'ezus Hashem, in the coming daf in the Gemara, will slow down and discuss it. And Be'ezus Hashem, will discuss it then as well. Zok the Mishnah, Mishanitel Aron, when the Aron was taken away from the Beis HaMikdash, Evan Hoysa Shami Moise Neviyam HaRishayim, there was a stone there that dated back to the times of the Neviyam HaRishayim. Rashi says the Neviyam HaRishayim were David and Shmuel. So this stone went back a very long time. Ushsia Hoysa Nikras. It was known as the Evan Shesia. Gavoya Min Ha'aretz Shalosh Etzbois. It was three Etzbois tall, and it was on that stone that the Kohen Gadol would place the Ketores. In other words, we've been discussing the special Ketores that the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom Kippur, Lefnai V'Lefin. He brought the Ketores between the poles, between the Badim of the Aron. Now, when there was an Aron, it was feasible to bring it Bein HaBadim of the Aron. But where did the Kohen Gadol bring the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim Mishanita La'aron, when the Aron was taken away? Says the Mishnah, there was a stone. This stone was actually in the Kodesh HaKadoshim when there was an Aron. It dated back pre-Beis HaMikdash to the times of the Neviim HaRishonim that Rashi describes as David and Shmuel. And V'aleh HaYinoyse, and it was on that stone that the Kohen Gadol would bring the Ketores. Not alas, Hadam, the Mishayim and Maris, boy. So now the Kohen Gadol finished bringing the Ketores. So he has to go back now and take the blood of the par that he brought on Yom Kippur. So just to review, the Kohen Gadol brought a special par on Yom Kippur. That par, he said, vidui on twice. The purpose of the par was to be mechaper for the Kohen Gadol, for his family, and really for all the Kohanim. The Kohen Gadol did the shechita and the kabbalah with the par, but before he did the hoylacha and the zrika, he would interrupt the avoida with the ketores. So now that he finished doing the ketores, he has to go back to the par. Now, he had already done the Shechit and the Kabbalah, so really, what he's going to take now is not the bull itself, but the dam of the par. So it says the Mishnah, he took the dam, and Misha Hayyav and Marius, but from the person that was mishing it, the Mishnah had said that during this interim period, while the Kohen Gadol was bringing the Ketores, somebody would stir the dam, simply so it shouldn't turn into a salt. He went back into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and he went to the place that he had gone previously, meaning the same exact place that the Kohen Gadol brought the Ketores, that's where he stood, the Hizam Imenu, and he took the dam of the par, and he did hazois. How many? Achas lamala, one on top, the sheva lamata, and seven on the bottom. V'loy hoya meschavim lahazois loy lamala v'loy lamata, says the Mishnah. What we say on top and on bottom, we're using those terms loosely, meaning it wasn't on top of anything, and it wasn't on bottom of anything. Elokim matzlif. Rather, what it means is he did the hazois in the same way that the shliach bezdin used to give malchus for someone that deserved malchus. Meaning, lamala and lamata means he would start the first hazah farther from him, and then he would walk each hazah a little bit closer. The Gemara is going to talk a lot more about it. And when he did these hazahs, he would count. Achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholish, achas v'arba, achas v'chomish, achas v'shesh, achas v'sheva. Why did he count in that very interesting way? The Gemara is going to discuss that as well. After he finished doing the hazois, he took the leftover dam and he put it on a stand that was made of gold that was inside the heichal. Now the Kohen Gadol has to bring the next carbon. So he just finished the hazois, not all of the hazois, but the first set of hazois that he was supposed to do with the par. He already brought the ketores. Now it's time for him to bring the sa'ir. This sa'ir was one of the two Se'irim, Sar Echad Lashem, Visar Echad Lazazel, the Sar that was brought to the Kohen Gadol now, was the Sar Lashem. And this one was Lashem. It had nothing to do with Sar Yishal Esav, nothing to do with the Hibijibi that the Rabban and Ibn Ezra, when you're 33 years old, talk about. But this was a regular carbon. It was a goat. It was a chata. Shachtai, he did a shchita like you do with a regular carbon. Then he did a Kabbalah. Nichnas, the Makashah Nichnas. He took the dam and he brought it again into the Kodesh HaKadosh. So again, he went to the same, everything's happening in the same place. Nichnas, the Makim Shenichnas, the Amma, the Makim Shamma. He's been men, and again he did as Achas, Amal, the Shavu, the Matta, the Kacho, Yemoina, Achas, 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 Beshtaim, the Chulu, Yotzev, and Nichal, Kanazov. Then he went out and he put the Mizrak that had the Dam of the Sar on it, on the second Kan Hazav, Hasheni, Shabahecha. Rabbi Yehuda, Amir, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lahayu Shamela Kanecha Bavav, all there was one. Not Al Dam HaPar, V'nich Dam HaSar. Then he picked the Dam HaPar up again. He put down the Dam HaSar, V'hiza Mimenu Ala Paroiches, Shekneged Ha'ara Mibachot. And he did a second set of Hazois. So he did the Hazois with the Par, then he did the Hazois with the Sar. Those Hazois were done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now he's going to do a second set of Hazois. These were not done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. These were done in the Heichal. And they were done on the Peroiches, Shekneged Aron, the part of the Peroiches that corresponded directly to the Aron, but Mibachutz, meaning it was from the Heichal side, not from the Kodesh HaKadoshim side. How many Hazois? Same thing. Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata V'Loi Hoye Mischavin V'Chulu V'Kach Hoye Moina V'Chulu. Not the Damas Ovin Yich Dam Apar. Then he picked up the Damas Ovin, put down the Dam Apar, and again the Hizim Emanuel Apar Roichesh Agenegad Armi Bachutz Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata V'Chulu. Same exact thing. And after he did Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata with the Par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata with the Sor Lashem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata with the Par in the Heichal on the Paroiches, Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata with the Sar Lashem on the Paroiches, Ira Dam HaPar L'Dam HaSar, he took the remainder of the Dam HaPar and the remainder of the Dam HaSar and he mixed them together. V'Nasan HaSamole Berekam, which means he mished it this way and that way and back this way and back that way. So now he had one Taruvois of all the Dam. He was going to do more Hazois, but that's going to come later. For now, the Gemara is going to begin its analysis of this very long and important Mishnah. There's a lot of the Avodah on Yom Kippur in the Mishnah that we just learned. But before we get into the Avodah, as mentioned, we're going to discuss a very arbitrary point, and that is the first words of the Mishnah were Mishanitel Ha'ar, meaning the Ketores that was brought Lefnai V'Lefnim was brought Kineged the Aron. Kohen Gadol walked between the poles of the Aron, and that's where he was makdir the Ketores. But during the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aron. And because there was no Aron, you couldn't bring the Ketores between the bottom of the Aron. There simply was no Aron. So the Mishnah addresses that. What did they do during Bayis Sheni? Meaning, Mishanita la'Aron. When there was no Aron, in other words, during the second Beis HaMikdash, what did they do then? So the Mishnah said there was a stone. It dated back to the times in the Nevi'im HaRishon, meaning this stone was there during the first Beis HaMikdash as well. It was known as the Evan Shasiya. It was three etzpois off the ground. But the Gemara makes a diak. The diak is, Mishenignaz Loiktani. The Mishnah doesn't say from the time that the Aron was hidden. Rather, what the Mishnah says is, Ela Mishenitel, from the time that it was taken. So the Gemara, if that's the case, Tanan Kamando Amma Aron Galal Bavel. This Stam Mishnah would seem to support the opinion of the Tanaim that holds that the Aron went to Bavel together with all the other Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So if you learn Sefer Yirmiyahu, the Navi describes that when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he took with him all the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash went to Bavel. After Paras Umadai, Koresh and Daryavesh, respectively, overthrew the Babylonian Empire. At that point, it was already Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, who was the king of Babel. They took with them all the Kalim that the Babylonians had stolen from the Jews. And they brought it to Persia, to Shushan Habira, and that's where they were. That's why Achashverosh, who was a Melech of Paras, like we read in the Megillah, when he made his big Suda, the Gemara says he took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. How did he have it? Because he had taken it from Babel, who had taken it from the Yidden at the time of the Churban. Those Kalim remained in Bavel, they remained in Paras, and when Koresh, Cyrus the Great, the way he's known in the secular world, gave the Yidden permission to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk says in the beginning of Sefer Ezra, he gave them all the Kalim. And the Kalim ended up going back together with the Yidden when they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash. Stating that, even though the Pasuk says clearly that Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzradim Sarat HaBachim, they took the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a little bit of confusion there was a little bit of uncertainty amongst the Tanan, the great Talmudic scholars, if the Aron, the Ark, was also taken together with all the Kelim, or maybe the Aron was different. Zok the Gemara, from the fact that the Mishnah says, Mishenita l'Aron, the Aron was taken, that's a Stam Mishnah that seems to suggest that the Aron, together with all the Kelim, together with the Yidin, Galal Abav. Zok the Gemara, what's the source to this machloikis? The Tanya we learned in a Bryce, Rebbe Eliezer, Oymer, the great Rebbe Eliezer said, Aron Galal Abav, the Aron went to Babel, all the Kelim went to Babel, so did the Aron. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Ulechuvas Hashano, Shalach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, Vayivyehu Bavelo, in Klei Chemnas Be. So the exact context of the pasuk is Yehoyakim was the Melech Yisrael. He was one of the Malchi Yehuda, a direct descendant of Yoshio, direct descendant of David HaMelech, and Nebuchadnezzar came and he brought Yehoyakim with him to Babel. And he appointed Yehoyakim's son Yehoyachin, also known as Yechoniah, to be the next king. A year later, L'tshuvas Hashanah, literally 1 year later, Sholach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, Vayivyehu Bavelo, he brought Yehoyachin with him back to Babel. And the Pasuk says, Im Kli Chemdas Beis Hashem. But he didn't just take Yehoyachin, he took him together with the Kelim that were Chemdas Beis Hashem, the Chamuda Genuza, the most beloved treasure of the Beis HaMikdash, said Rabbi Eliezer. What's the Kli Chemdas Beis Hashem? It's the Aron that had the Luchais. Of course, that's what it is. So said Rabbi Lez, it's a pasuk that Im Klei Chem Das Beis Hashem went back to Babel. Must be the Aron went to Babel. Shem Yechayim, Rabbi Shimon said the same thing. Aron Galal Babel. Shenem, because the pasuk says, Hine Yom Bam Ben Yisakal Hashem Beisach. That's the entire pasuk. Vasha Otzra Beisach Adayim Azel Babel. Lo Yivase Dovar Amar Hashem. The pasuk is in Sefer Yeshaya. It's Perek Lamites. The pasuk describes how Chizkiyo HaMelech, surprisingly and mysteriously, had the king of Mitzrayim come into his palace and he showed him everything and he gave him access that maybe he shouldn't have gotten. And the pasuk says that Hashem sent the Navi Yeshaya and he told Chizkiyo that because of the fact that you allowed the Melech of Bavel and the Melech of Mitzrayim, Ayin Shom, to come in to the Beis HaMikdash and to see the Oitzrois of the Beis HaMikdash, days are coming with the Nisa Kol HaShem Beisecha, that everything that you have right now is going to be taken to those lands. They're going to end up in Bavel. And then the Navi said, Lo Yivaser Dover Amar Hashem. There will be nothing left over, but emphasis on Dover. Lo Yivaser Dover. It's Rav Shimon Vayichai said, what does Dover mean? Elo Aseres HaDibris Shalei. It's referring to the Aseres HaDibris. Now, the Aseres HaDibris is the Luchais. The Luchais were in the Aron. So you see that what happened to the Aron, it ended up in Babel. So Rabbi Eliezer and Shimon Vayichai were both of the opinion that the Aron went to Babel. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish says, no, Aron bim koyma niggas. The Aron never went to Babel. The Aron was hidden. Where was it hidden? Bim koyma. It was hidden somewhere underground in the makam of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Vayero roshim yabadim ben HaKodesh al pnei advir, v'lo yero achutza. The Gemara is going to talk more about this Pasuk later in the daf, but it's clearly describing the Aron. Vayiyu sham adayim hazeh. The Aron is there, adayim hazeh, is mashman till today. Hayoyim, literally, as we stand it today, that's where the Aron is. He said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish never went to Babel. It was hidden. Where was it hidden? B'mekoy mei nignas. The bottom line is, machlokes tano. You have Rabbi Eliezer, Rishon Vayichai, on the one hand, that say that the Aron was Galal Babel. You have Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish that says the Aron never went to Babel. It was hidden. It was hidden in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Our Mishnah says, Mishanita la'aron, not Mishanignas la'aron. So the Gemara says, it's a Stam Mishnah, clearly, like Rabbi Eliezer and like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that the Aron did go to Babel. That's the Lashon Mishanito, not the Lashon Mishanito. So the Gemara, this Braisa that we just mentioned is Pliga de Ula, is not like Ula. Specifically, the part of the Braisa that says that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai holds that the Aron is Galal Babel. That part of the Braisa, we're going to see now, Ula had a different version of the Amar Ula Shora Masi ben Chorosh, es Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Beroimis. Rabbi Masi ben Chorosh, he was the Mara de Asra of the Jewish Kehillah in Rome. So circa the time of all the great Tanam around the post-Chorban. So the leader of the Jews in Rome, there were many Jews living in Rome. 10% of the Roman population was Jewish. So there were a lot of Jews living in Rome, and the Marid Asra was Rav Masi ben Charash. So he once met Rav Shimon bar Yochai in Roimi. If you want the rest of the story of why Rav Shimon bar Yochai was in Rome, I am Mesechtes Mi'ilo Daf Yud Zayin, and we have Reit by Zvir. But Rav Masi ben Charash met Rav Shimon bar Yochai in Roimi. And he asked them the following question. We know Rabbi Eliezer taught us twice that Aron went to Bavel. So picture the scene. Rabbi Masi ben Chorish and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai are in Rome. And they're talking and learning. What are they discussing? something that the great Rabbi Eliezer said. Rabbi Eliezer is the Rebbe of all the Tanakh. So they're saying over something about Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer taught us twice that the Aron went to Bavel. Rishayna Hadamar, the first time, he said, Vayevyeo Bavelum Kleichem Nes Beis Hashem. That's the Brisa that we just mentioned. Shnei Amai, what's the second time Rabbi Eliezer, the Aron went to Bavel? The Chassidus Pasuk says, Vayetze Mibas Siyan Kol Hadara. This is a Pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Eicha. My Kol Hadara, what does Kol Hadara mean? It means Hadara. Rashi, Hagon is Bechadri Chadorim. That the thing that's hidden Bechadri Chadorim that ended up going to Bavel. So he told him, did Ramasi ben Choresh, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Ata ma'ata oimer. What do you hold? Amaloi, he told him, Sha'ani oimer, I hold, Oroim bim koimoi nignas. The Oroim was hidden. It was hidden bim koimoi shenema vayarichu habadim v'chulu. Amaloi, Rabbi Ulamai Mashma. What do you see in that puzzle? What do Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai mean? Dechsev, Ayyusham adayim azeh. What Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakdish said in the first price that the Gemara brought. So just to stop for a second, that's the plea of the Ula. Because our Braisa had Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai both holding that the Aron was Galal above. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai learned it from the Pasuk, Lo Yivaseh Dover, Amar Hashem, when Yeshaya told Chizkiyahu, why did you give these kings access to the Oitzris? And Dover means the Aseres Hadibis, which is referring to the Luchas, which was inside the Aron. But Al-Kopan, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, it was that the Aron went above. You see from this exchange that Ula said over between Rabbi Masi ben Choresh and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai in Rome, regarding this very topic, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was of the opinion that the Aron was hidden. Where was it hidden? Bim Koimai. So the Gemara now digresses for a second and says, so we had Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish in the first Braisa. We have Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai in Ula's version of this exchange between Ramasi ben Choresh and Reb Shimon ben Yochai, that being that it says Vayiyu Sham Adayoyim Hazeh regarding the poles of the Aron, that means Adayoyim Hazeh literally. Meaning the words Adayoyim Hazeh means up until today. Faith to Yomar, is that true? V'chol Heicha Dechsev Adayoyim Hazeh Lo Ilamu Vaksev. The Pasuk says Vayavusi Yoshev Yushalayim Lo Hirisha B'nei Binyama. The B'nei Binyama, when they settled their portion of Eretz Yisrael, they didn't force Yavusi to leave the land. That was a mistake. They were supposed to have Leisachaya Kol Neshama, the Torah says. When the Yidden went into Eretz Yisrael, they were supposed to make sure that the people that were populating the land at the time would leave. Binyamin didn't do what they were supposed to. They allowed Yevusi to remain there. And the people from Yevusi lived together with the Bnei Binyamin in Yerushalayim. That was Chelik Binyamin, Yerushalayim. We know that from the beginning of the parak. Chayfei Volov Kol Hayom, Umi Ben Ksef of Shochen. And the Pasuk says, how long did they remain there together? Ad hayoyim hazeh. They were there, ad hayoyim hazeh. Is that true? Binyamin has never left Yerushalayim. They've always been there. So you'll say, maybe. Maybe the Amalek in Yerushalayim and Yidden were all from Bnei Binyamin. Maybe Bnei Binyamin was always there, but the Gemara says it can't be. Two sources. There was a 52-year period between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the building of the second Beis HaMikdash that there was no human being that was in Eretz Yehuda. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Al heharim esu v'chi v'nehi v'al me'ois midbar kino ki nitzisu mi'bliyish oiver v'lo ishamu kol mikna mi'ayfat shemayim v'ad behema nadadu halachon. Chazal darshan, the word behema nadadu. Nadadu means they wandered. So the Yidden, and really all people, wandered behema, behema begematria, another gemara, we have a gematria, chamishim l'shtayim av. It's the gematria of 52, and we learn from there, behema nadadu. For 52 years, we know Yidden in Eretz. Tiny another bride. It says, Shevesh on the sky, and Gophers of Melech, Sreifah Kol Arzo. The Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk that says, Gophers for Melech, Sreifah Kol Arzo, that the land would be destroyed, was Neskayim in Eretz Yisrael for 7 years. So you see, there were times that there was no one living in Eretz Yisrael, not even Bnei Ben Yomim. Either Pasuk says that, Vayeshev Ayibuzi is Bnei Ben Yomim, Yerushalayim, Ad Hayayim Azeh. Om Rav Yoichan, Om Rav Yoichan, and said, parenthetically, as it relates to Rabbi Yossi, who said for 7 years, Gophers for Melech, Sreifa Kol Arzo was in Eretz Yisrael. My time with Rabbi Yossi, Asya Bris, Ksivach, it says over here, Vihigbar, Bris, Lo Rabim, Shavua Echad. It says the word Bris, and it means over there 7 years. Shavua is a Shemitah. Shavua Echad, Ksivasim, Va'omru Alasha, Ozwes, Bris Hashem, Elekei Yavoisam. The bottom line is, we have a Kasha. Rav Shem Ba'ichai, in the story with Ramasim and Karish, Rav Yudim Elokash in the first price, it said that when the Pasuk says, Vayu, Shamad Yem Azeh, it means till today, that's how you know the Aron is still in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, albeit it's hidden. Hey, have a Pasuk, Vayesh, Vayibusi, Bnei Yom Yerushalayim, Ad Hayom Hazeh. So Rabba asked this kasha to Ula, Amale. So Ula told Rabba, there's a difference. Even though both psukim say Adayim Hazeh, but if you look carefully, there's a nuance. Hacha ksiv sham, hasam lo ksiv sham. By the Aron, it says Vayiyu sham Adayim Hazeh. By the Bnei Binyamin, it says Vayeshev Vayibusi as Bnei Binyamin B'Yerushalayim Adayim Hazeh. Doesn't say the word sham, and that makes all the difference. If it says sham, it means forever. Adayim Azeh, literally. Without Sham, it doesn't mean Adayim Azeh. But the Gemara says, I have a problem with that. I'll ask you a kasha. A pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Aleph. Umehem min b'nei Shimon hochul har seir. Anoshim chamesh meir. So there were people from the family of Shimon that went to har seir. 500 people. Uplatya una'aryu refayu v'uzilu b'nei yishin b'roish. V'yaku es sheiris ha'pleita l'amolik. They hit the sheiris ha'pleita of Amolik. V'yesh fu Sham. And they remained there. Adayim Azeh. They were there. Adayim Azeh. So these chevra were in this place, Har Seir, Adayim Azeh. Now, we know they weren't there. Adayim Azeh. Because Kfar Olos Ancheriv, Melech Ashu, Urbilbo, Kol Arotzis. The Gemara says in a lot of places, this has halachic ramifications, that Ancheriv, who was the king of Ashur, the ancient land of Assyria, he went and he was mevalvel the umais. He took people that lived here and he brought them there, people that lived there and he brought them here. The point is, he was bilbal al umais. Shenema v'asir gvulais amin v'asu deiseyem shoyseisi, whatever the drash is, but that's the makar that Sancheirov was the mevalvel the umais. So we know for sure that these chevra mentioned in Divrei Hayomim are not sham adayim azeh. And there it says sham. So you can't say it just says vayu adayim azeh. It says sham adayim azeh. So if you're going to tell me wherever it says sham adayim azeh, such as by the Ba'adei ha'orim, it means literally Adayim Azeh. How are you going to answer this pasuk? And the Gemara has no teretz for that. The Gemara doesn't say kasha, but rather the Gemara says tyufta, checkmate, good gifrek. Talk to the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman said, Tana, we learned in a braisa. The Chachamim said, Orim belishkas dir ha'itzim ha'yaganos. The Orim didn't go to Bavel like Rabbi Eliezer and Rav Shimon Ba'yichoy said in the first braisa. The Arun wasn't hidden in the Kodesh HaKodashim, like Rav Yehuda ben Lakish said in the first Braisa, like Rav Shimon Ba'yichai told Rav Masi Bar Charash in the story that Ula told over took place in Roimi, but rather the Arun was hidden, but not in the Kodesh HaKodashim, it was hidden in the ground of the chamber that was known as Dir Ha'etzim. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Afana Nami Tonina, it's a Mishnah. A Mishnah Mesech Deshkala. I said there was a story of Koyen Echad Shoyim Misasik. There was a Koyen Echad that was Misasik. Rashi says, Betil Vesheik. See, he was playing around, literally. Vera Ritzpa Mishuna Michabrese. And suddenly he noticed that one of the tiles on the floor was different than the others. He went to tell his friend, and before he had a chance to show them what he wanted to show them, everyone knew for sure, Shasham Aron Ganos, that he was probably showing them where the Aron was. My Hava Avad, the Gemara says, he was Misasik. What exactly was he doing? Reb Chelbay said, Misasik Bekardumay Haya. He was playing with his knife. Tanad Rabbi Shmuel, Shnei Kehanim Balamun Haim Aslin Beitzim. No, a different version of what they were. There were two Kehanim that were there. They were going through the wood to make sure the wood was kosher to put on the marach and make sure it had no mum. The nishmita kardumay shalach mehem. And when a person lost his kardoim as he was doing it, enough lasham, it fell in that eerie, the yotze ish v'achasai, a fire came out and ate it. And that's how they knew that this is what happened. The bottom line is, this is a third version of the story in terms of what happened. So again, very unclear what happened to the Aron. All the Kalim, we know Nebuchadnezzar took with him to Bavel. They ended up in the palace of Achashverosh. And then in the beginning of Sefer Ezra, Koiresh, the king of Paras, gave it back to the Yidden. And for the most part, the Yidden had the Kalim of Shloimeh HaMelech in the second base of Mikdash. Just follow the paper trail and all the Psukim and Nach. It's very clear that that's what happened. The one anomaly, maybe, was the Aron. And we have three shittas. Either the Aron was taken to Bavel together with all the Kalim, or it was hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or Kimavura Mesech Teshkolim, it was hidden in the Lishka So'etzim. Why are we talking about it? Because our Mishnah, B'derech Agav, is in supportive of one of the three shittas, the first shita. The Mishnah says that during the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aron. As a result, the Keteris was brought not between the bottom of the Aron, but rather on the Evin Shasiyah. And when the Mishnah describes this reality of there being no Aron, it says Mishenitel Aron. It doesn't say Mishenignaz, it says Mishenitel, clearly implying that the Aron was Gala Lebavel. So we mentioned a pasuk in Malachim that says Vayero Roshe Habadim and Akodesh al Pnei Hadavir, Velo Yero Hachutza. So the pasuk is describing the Badim of the Aron. And it says that you were able to see the top of the Badim from the Kodesh. The Kodesh was the Heichal. The Badim were attached to the Aron, which was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was a wall or a Perecha separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This pasuk is in Malachim Aleph. That's Bayis Rishon, which means there was really a wall that was separating the two. And the pasuk says, you were able to see through the wall, Al Pnei HaDavir, the top of the bottom. And then the pasuk says, "V'lo yeirah achutza." That really you weren't allowed to see it. So Rabbi Yehuda Rami, Rabbi Yehuda said, "I don't know how to read the pasuk." Ksiv, the pasuk says, "V'yeirah rashi abadim." You were able to see it. Ksiv, and then the pasuk says, "V'lo yeirah achutza." Hakeitza, which one was it? Could you see it or could you not see it? So we had this in Masach Tishkolim. The Gemara says, "Nirin ve'ein nirin." You were able to see it a little bit, but you couldn't see it a lot. Tanya Nami Yochi, a brayso that explains this. V'yeirah rashi abadim. Yochlo yuzazim koimon. You would think that they weren't allowed to be moved, like even pulled a little bit in the direction of the devir from being within the arayin. They were able to make it longer. They were able to move it around a little bit. And you would think that they should actually go through the parechas. No, couldn't be seen all the way. Okay, so which one was it? It would protrude a little bit through the parechas. So if you were looking at the parechas from the heichal, you saw the two poles protruding a little bit through the parechas. And they look kishnei dadei isha. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Tsroir hamor doidili ben shadayolin. This is one of the psukim and shir hashirim that describe the hava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And the pasuk says that the shechina resides ben shadai, between the dadim kaviyachal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what this means. What it means is the dadim are a reference to the shnei badim of the Aron, and they were protruding, and they look kishnei badi isha. Just one thing that needs to be clarified a little bit. If this is bayis rishon, and there was a wall that was separating the kodesh and the kodesh hakodashim, so how do you have the two poles? But they can't be going through the wall. That's impossible. That's a thick wall. So how would that even be possible? So the Teretz says, we'll see a little bit more about this in the Gemara, but there were doors, meaning there was an entrance that you were able to go through to get from the Kodesh to the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's how the Kohen Gadol would go on Yom Kippur. Now, that entranceway wasn't covered with a door. You didn't open up a door and you walk into the Kodesh HaKadosh. There was a Pereiches there. So it was that Pereiches that L'chura, the Pasuk is referring to. Amrav Kintina, B'shasha Yisrael, Ayim L'regel, Nidim L'ayim L'regel, Megal L'mes HaPereiches. They would roll up the Pereiches, Umar L'henes HaKruvim, Shayim Ayim Zebezeh, and they would see the Kruvim that they were hugging each other. V'ayim L'hem, the Kehanim would tell the Yidin, Re'uchi Baschem L'fnei HaMachem, see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, it's Kichiba Zachar Nekeva. The Ahava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for you is the Ahava that the Zachar has in the Keva. So the Kruvim were Zachar and Nekeva, and they were in an embrace. And there was symbolic of the habit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with the Bnei Yisrael. Masav Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda asked the Kasha, is it possible that the Yidden saw the Aron? They saw the Kruvim, they rolled up the Pereiches, and everybody was somehow able to see in, right? How'd they see in? Through the Ulam, through the Heichol, through the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're not allowed to look. In fact, the Pasuk says, V'leyavoyu lirois kabalas HaKadosh. The Pasuk is talking about the Bnei Kahas, whose job it was to carry all the Kelim at the Beis HaMikdash. And they weren't even allowed to look while they were carrying the Kelim at the Mishkan. They could not see. When they would take the Kelim in and out, they couldn't even look. So now the Yidden are showing up to be Eilu Regal. Suddenly they're allowed to see. Amrav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said, Mashal Lekala. I'll explain the answer to you with a Mashal. A Kala. A bride, Kosmanchi Bevesavia, when she's still living in her father's house, when she hasn't gotten married, all she had was Erisin. The olden days, marriage was made up of two components, Erisin and Nesuin, and they sometimes happen as much as a year apart from each other. Today, it all happens under the chuppah. Re'at Mikudash Asli, that's Kedushin, it's under the chuppah, that's Nesuin, so it all happens Bevas Achas. But once upon a time, it didn't happen Bevas Achas. So when there was Erisin, the bride was considered a bride. She was a kala midai raisa, but she was still living bevei savia. She wasn't allowed to live with her husband. It was an issa yichud, in fact, until she actually had nesuin. So kosmanchi bevei savia, as long as she's still living in her father's house, tsnu mi baila. She's a tsnua from her husband. Kimin chabasla beis chamel. But as soon as she comes to her in-law's house, meaning she's already married, ain't a tsnua mi baila, she's not a tsnua anymore. What's the nimshal? The yidin in the midbar were in a state of erisin. They weren't Eretz Yisrael yet. And as much as the mishkan was on a higher madrig of Kedusha than even the first base of Mikdash, but Yidden had not entered the promised land, yeah? And as a result, they were kikala beves aviha, and they had to have a certain seos. And even the Bnei Kas, whose job it was to transport the Kalim of the Mishkan, they weren't allowed to look. But once they had Eretz Yisrael, at that point they were allowed to look already. Because then it was already a state of Nesuin. It was Kekala Bebeis Chameh, then it's okay. So Rav Chana Barav Ketino, asked the Gishmak HaKasha, what's Pshat in the story of Masech Tishkolim? What's Pshat in that Mishnah with a Kohen? He knew where the Aron was, and he went to tell his friends, and he couldn't couldn't even look at it because before he had a chance to say something, he already died. It sounds like he died because he saw something he wasn't supposed to see. What's the problem? You're allowed to look. All the Yidden, when they were Eloregel, they used to see it. So why is he not allowed to see? And the Gemara is a fascinating teretz. Amale niskarsha kamrit. So he told him, you're asking me a kasha for when the Yidden were divorced? Oh, niskarsha chazal l'chibasa rishayim. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they're not anymore in the madrega of being Kalav of Eis Chamel. Now they're in a state of Gerishin, and because they're in a state of Gerishin, they go back to their original status. So when the Yidu in the Midbar, it was Erisin. Then Bayis Rishon was Nesuin. When that story happened with the Kohen, it was after Gerishin, therefore they're not allowed to look anymore. Now the obvious question is, it happened during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It was a Kohen who's doing the Avodah, he's going through the... And that's when it took place. So what do you mean he's Ke Va'acha Gerishin? It's not Gerishin. The Teretz says it was the second Beis HaMikdash. And this has to do with the rate bite that we spoke at on Daf Ches, understanding Bayis Sheni a little bit better. Because we understand Bayis Sheni a little bit better and we appreciate that it wasn't a Zman of Geula, but on some level it was a Zman of Golus. This Gemara is literally an exhibit A. It brings out this point so powerfully that the Zman of Bayis Sheni, the status of Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was literally as if they were Begerish. When they were Begerish, this is a Beis HaMikdash. Yidu were being Gaila Ragel. It's true, but on some level, it was Gerish. So let's go back to this Brisa. Omer of Ketina. B'shosho Yisrael Oilu Neregel. With Yidu Oilu Ragel, Megalim as a Pereiches, they would roll up the Pereiches, Umarlim as a Kruven, they would show the Yidin the Kruven, Shayim Oirim Zebezet, they were in an embrace. Oimelim, they would tell them, Ruuchi Baslef Neyamokim, see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, it's Kechiba Zachar in a Keva. So the Gemara says, I have a problem. I don't understand this statement. But my ask, in it, the Mikdash Rishon, are we talking about Mikdash Rishon? May avoid Pareiches? There was no Pareiches during Bayis Rishon. There was a wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Elo, but Mikdash Sheni. Must be Mikdash Sheni. There was one Pareiches, Rabbi Yossi, two Pareiches, the Chachamim, may avoid Kruvim. There were no Kruvim during Bayis Sheni. So is it Bayis Rishon? There's no Pareiches. Is it Bayis Sheni? There's no Kruvim. So Mar says two Teruts. One Teruts is the Mikdash Rishon. Really, it's talking about the first base of Mikdash. That's where they were Kruvim. There was an Ari. Umay Pareiches was Pareiches. Me Pareiches the Bavi, like we said earlier. It means the Pareiches of the doors. There were 13 Pareiches in the base of Mikdash, referring to Bayis Sheni. Shiva Kenega Shiva Sharim, seven by the seven entrance ways to the Azar. So you know there was a big Machlokes Tanam. How many Sharim there were to the Azar? This Tana holds seven. So seven by the seven entrance ways to the Azar. Shtayim, there were two Achas of Bischay Shalechah, but Achas of Bischay Shalulam. One by the entrance way of the Hechel, meaning where the door is, there was a Pareiches. One by the entrance way of the Ulam. Shnayim Bidavir, there were two by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ushtayim Kenegd Maliyah, the top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, had another two. But the point is, you see clearly that there were Pareiches by the entrance ways into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what it's referring to. It doesn't mean the Pareiches as if the entire Mechitza between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was a Pareiches. This is by Srishan Baharaya. We're talking about a Kruven, which means that there was an Aron. We're talking about the Pareiches by the entrance. He said a second test. He really was talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. So what's the Kruven? There was no Aron during the second Beis HaMikdash. Kruven de Tzurasa. It's talking about different Kruven. These were Kruven that were pictures that were on the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Havikayimi. Dechsev, and this is based on a pasuk in Malachim Aleph. The pasuk says, referring to Shloim HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash, that's called Kiris HaBayis, Mesiv Kala. All the walls of the Bayis had pictures on them. Kruven, there were Kruven. The Simrois, you had palm trees. Upeture tzitzim, flowers. Uksivan, the pasuk says, v'tzipa zomi yushal ala machuka. And all these pictures were covered with gold. Uksivan, the pasuk says, kemar ish v'loyos. What does that mean? My kemar ish v'loyos. Amar rabbi bar shevo, ki isha ma'ira b'lavoya shalai. That the picture of the kruvim was a picture of a zachar and a nekeva in an embrace. And that's what they saw. So the Rav Ketina had said that when the Yidden came to be Oilu Regel, they would see inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and they saw the Kruven that were Ma'orim Zebezeh. How did they see it? They were Megalo, the Pareiches. Mercy, it's not possible. Pareiches is Bayis Sheni. Kruven is Bayis Rishon. Two Terutz. Either it's Bayis Rishon, the Pareiches means the Pareiches of the door, or it's Bayis Sheni, and the Kruven means the Kruven that were Mitzuyorim on the Gesal. Amar Eish Lachish. Next Gemara is a classic. Joshua and Kuzun Nachum Lehechel. When the Nachum entered the Hechel to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Ro Kruven Ma'orim Zebezeh, they saw the Kruven that were in an embrace. Haitzian Leshok. And they took them outside. For Amru, and they told, meaning they took the Kruvim outside, and they said, "Yisrael halalu shebrachasim bracha v'kilalasim klalu yasku b'dvar malalu." These are the Jews. You want to know what goes on bechadrei chadarim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? This is what's going on. It's an Indian of arayos. We have an ish the isha that amurim zebezeh miyad yizilu. When everybody saw that this is what was going on, so people started being mezalzel. The Yidden became cheap in their eyes. Shenema, the Navi says in Eicha, kol mechabdeh Hizilua Kiro Ervasa. The Mechabdeha. The people that in the past were Mechabe Kla Yisrael, Hizilua. Now they were treating the Yidden cheaply. Kiro Ervasa. Because they saw the Erva. They saw the erva of the Bnei Yisrael. We're going to get back to this. So the Mishnah said that during the first Beis Hamikdash, all the avodah happened in the Kodesh HaKodashim between the Bad. But there was no Aron during the second Beis Hamikdash. In lieu of the Aron, there was an Evan, Ushsia, Hoysa Nikras, and that's where it all happened. Tana, learned in a Braisa. So why was this Evan called Evan Shasia? Shemimeno Hushsasa Oilam. Because that stone is the foundation of the world. The whole world came from that stone. This supports the Manama that says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the first part of the world that he created was Tzion, Eretz Yisrael, and from Eretz Yisrael everything else came. Makes sense. The Evan is in Tzion. So if Evan is the Yesoid, Mimeno Hushsas Oilam must be Mitzion Nivra Oilam. So what's the Shail of Tzion Nivra Oilam? What are the other opinions? The Tanya will learn to the Brice. Rav Lezer says, Oilam Mem Tziyase Nivra. The world was created from the middle, Shenema Betzekes Ofer Lamutzak Urugavim Yidu Baku. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a center point of the world, and then Urugavim Yidu Baku. He attached things to that center, and that's how the world came about. But the first thing that was created was the center. Reb Yeshua Oimer Oimer Menat Stadim Nevar. Just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Stadim of the world, and then brought it all together. Shenema Kidashel Yoimer Hevei Aretz. The Geshem Matar, the Geshem Mitras Uzai. So Geshem Matar, Geshem Mitras Uzai is also considered the fourth stardom of the world. That's how Rabbi Yeshua understands Brios Oilam. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Evan Yara, Kadosh Baruch Bayam. Kadosh Baruch took a stone, he threw it into the Yam, Mimenu Nishtas Oilam. And that's how the dry land came about. Shenemar Al Mo Adoneho Hotpu'u. The Aretz part of the land. Bereshis Barla Kimasa Shemayim Vasa Aretz. The Aretz part of the land. How did that happen? Oy Mi Yara Evan Pinasa. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw the Evan Apino, so it was thrown, Evan Yara HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how the Chachamim Ayin, that's what we're getting towards, Mitzion Nivra, the world was created from Tzion, Shenema Mizma L'Asav, Kela Lekim Hashem, V'Omer, Mitzion Michlal Yofi, Mimenu Muchlal Yofi Yoshal Oilam, and this pasuk Michlal, means that's the aside of the world, so from Tzion came about the world, Tanya will learn to the rest, Lezah Gadol Omer, Eila told us Hashemayim V'Horetz Behibarim V'Yoyim Asoyis Hashem Alekim Eretz V'Shamayim. A pasuk in the beginning of the Torah, Parashas Bereishis, told us Shemayim Yishamayim Nivru, told us Oretz Me'Eretz Nivru. So Lezah Gadol said, Eila told us Hashemayim V'Horetz Behibarim, that the Shemayim has told us, and the Oretz has told us, the told us that the Shemayim came about from the Shemayim, and the told us of the Oretz, they came about from the Aretz. V'chachamim oimrim, elu ve'elu mitzion nivro. Now, everything came from Tzion. Shenemar mizma l'asuf kelo l'kim Hashem diber v'yikra Aretz, mi mizrach shemesh ad mevoyoy, v'oimer mitzion michlal yoifi alikim oifia, mi menu muchlal yoifi shaloylam, same exact Rasha, that from Tzion came the world exhale. So the Gemara, on the top of Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis said, Amar Reish Lakish. When the Nachum entered the Hechel, Ro'u Kruvim HaMa'irim Zebezeh. They saw the Kruvim that were in an embrace. V'hitzion L'shuk. They took the Kruvim to the street. V'amru and they said, Yisrael Halalu Shebrchasan Bracha V'kilolasim Klala Yasku B'dvarim Halalu. This is what the Jews do. Miyad Hizilum Shenemar Kol Mechabdeo Hizilua Ki Ro'u Ervasa. So the Nachum come into the Hechel, and they saw the Kruvim, and they were Ma'irin Zebezeh, and they were very taken aback. They said, this is what goes on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they decided that they're going to shame the Jews. So they took the Kruvim, they brought it outside that everybody should see, and in fact, Kol Mechabdeh, the people that once had this tremendous respect for the Jewish people, now they said, this is what goes on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They didn't take it the right way, and as a result, Kol Mechabdeh, Hizilua, Kiro'u Ervasa. But one thing is clear in this Gemara, that b'shoshen nichnesu nachrim lehechol, when the nachrim entered the hechol, they saw kruvim hama'orim zebezeh. They saw the kruvim and they were in an embrace. The Ritva brings a kasha that he heard from the Rimagash. So the Rimagash was the Rambam's Rebbe, the Rambam's father's Rebbe. He was one of the earlier Tanoim. And he asked the kasha from a well-known Gemara, Masechtas Bava Basra, Dav Tzadik Tesa Min Aleph. The Gemara over there asks Akasha. There's one pasuk that describes the Kruvim as being Pneim Ishel Achiv. There's another pasuk that says upneim labayis. Now upneim mishalachim sounds like the two kruvim were facing each other. Upneim labayis sounds like they were facing opposite directions. So the Gemara says, which one was it? Were the kruvim facing each other, or were they facing opposite directions? The Gemara lekasha. Kam bisman sheyisrael oisim ritzayin shalmakim. Kam bisman sheein yisrael oisim ritzayin shalmakim. When the yidden were oisim ritzayin shalmakim, it was upneim mishalachim. When the yidden were ein oisim ritzayin shalmakim, then it was upneim labayis. Meaning, when the Yidden were oisim ritzayin shalmakim, then the kruvim were facing each other. But when the Yidden were not oisim ritzayin shalmakim, then the kruvim were facing the opposite direction. So the Ritva says that the Rima Gash asked, "Bishah shebnichnasu goyim lehechol." Why were they entering the Heichel? To destroy the Beis Hamikdash. They saw the kruvim hamurim zebezeh. They saw them in an embrace. Why were they in embrace? That would imply that it was upnei mishalachiv. L'chura, it was ein oisir etzayin shalmakim. This was the time of the Churban. If it was by Yisrishin, there was Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raya, Shvichas Damim. If it was by Yisheni, there was Lashon Hara, there was Sinas Chinam. But regardless, if the Beis Hamikdash was being destroyed, then clearly this was a time of ein oisir etzayin shalmakim. So Freiteri Megash, what's pshat in this? How do these two Gemara shtim? Bava Basra Tzadik Tes, Bezman Chein oisir etzayin shalmakim, it's Pnei Malabayis. And here you have Yuman and Dalet Amid Beis that describes the Churban, and the Nachman entered the Heichel to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. They saw the kruvim that were ma'urim zebezeh. And the Ritva says that the Rima Gash answered that it could be that the Gemara in Bava Basra that Tzadik Tes is referring to the kruvim that were on the Aroin. The kruvim that were on the Aroin, those kruvim were sometimes pneim mishalachiv, sometimes pneim el abayis, and it really depended on whether they were oisim ritzayin shalmakim or ein oisim ritzayin shalmakim. But the Gemara in Yuman Nun Dalad Amid Beis, b'shash nichlus goyim lehechel, was referring to the kruvim that were painted on the walls. The kruvim that were painted on the walls, those pictures that Shlomo HaMelech made, there was always pneim mishalachiv. That had nothing to do with oisim ritzayin shalmakim or ein oisim ritzayin shalmakim. Thus, hotnish with the Gemara in Bava Basra Tzadik Tes Amid Aleph, and that's why, even though it was the time of the Churban, they saw it, they were taken back, they brought it outside. The Ritva itself has a little bit of a problem with the Rima Gash's Pshat, Ayin Sham, and he says another teretz. He says that it could be really, it should have been Pneyem El Abayis. However, B'nes Hoya Me'ur Nachshav, everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu did was a miracle. Shenasa Nes L'ra Kidei L'galei Servasan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle to make the Yidden look bad, to be Megala the Erev. I saw the Chidah in the Sefer Marisa Ayin on this Gemara right here. He says, where do you find Hashem makes a miracle? L'ra? A miracle is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really does. And if he does it, in a public forum that is, he's doing it for Taif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make a miracle? L'ra? That seems very, very hard to believe. But either way, those are the two terusim that the Ritva brings. One teretz from the Rima Gash, we don't mean the kruvim that were on top of the Aron, or his teretz that could be, it's true, this was a Hira Asha, it was a special miracle, it was part of the Toichacha, part of the Klalois of Eicha, Kom Mechabdel Hizilu Kira Ravasa, Hashem did something that was really out of the ordinary, Dafke, to make the Yidden look extra bad at the time of the Churban. But it's Yodua that the Sfarim HaKadoshim bring a different mahalach. The Bnei Yisoscha brings it in Maimer Tammuz and Oz. We're about to bench Chodesh Tammuz. This is a little bit in Yonah D'Yoma. But really, it's brought down in different Svarim. Each one of the tzaddikim said it in their own nusach. But the Yisoid Hadover, the way the Bnei Yisoscha brings it anyways, it's in Maimer Gimel, is as follows. He brings in the name of the Rebbe Rav Pinchas Karitzer and in the name of the Magid Mezrich that they basically said the following Yisoid. The Gemara says in Masechtes Yevamos, Daf Samech Beis Amid Beis, Hayoytza L'derech, Tzorech Lifkoid Es Ishtoi. A person has an obligation of oina to his wife. But there's halachos and shiurim of what oina is. A Talmud Chacham, different things determine what the chiyuvei oina are. But there are certain times that every single husband has a chiyuvei oina. Le'al HaMikvah. Also, Hayoytza L'derech, someone that's going away on a trip. So Hayoytza L'derech, Tzorech Lifkoid Es Ishtoi. So what's the pshat? Why is it that Ayoytza L'derech beget Achi Avayna? So Rav Pinchas Karitzer said that the reason is because a person that lives with someone that he loves, so he doesn't necessarily wake up every morning feeling this burning Ahava Rabba. It's something that in life sometimes people take for granted. But there's moments that trigger that Ahava, where that Ahava that the person has every single day and every single minute suddenly comes out. One of the things that trigger ahava is pirut, separation. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And when a person says goodbye to somebody that he loves, That moment is going to create a certain sense of ahava. So if a person's going away, a person's sending a child away for an extended period of time, Rachmana Litzlan at a levaya. So there's a niftar. On some level, somebody's going away. It brings out tremendous hergeshim of ahava, the scenes of mothers during the Holocaust sending their child at a railroad somewhere, putting them on a train, waving goodbye, not knowing if they're ever going to see them again, and the bawling and the bechias. This part of life, it's real. And separation brings out certain hergeshim of ahava that otherwise maybe a person wouldn't feel. So said the Heiliger Rebbe Reb Pinchas Karitzer that when a person is yoytze l'derech, there's feelings between the husband and the wife of tremendous ahava. A husband has an obligation, therefore, because he knows there's that feeling of ahava, tzarech lifkad es eshtay. That's what's ma'ayr the chiyavayna. So Pinchas Karitzer said a davar nifla. He said that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Yidu were ein oisin ritzoyne shalmatin. And because of that, it was pneyan alabayas. There's no question. There's no question. But at the same time, b'shashabon nachrim lehechel, when the nachrim came into the hechel, and they were about to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, this is churban Beis Hamikdash. The Eibishter understood, and he started feeling hergeshim of ahava towards Klai Yisrael. Because this is it. The Yidu are about to go into galus. The Shechina is about to return to Shamayim. We're not going to have that Shechina b'tachtoinim anymore. And there was a bechina of ayoytze l'derech. Hashem knew that we're going to go into Golas that's already lasted 2,000 years. And who knows if the Yidden are going to be able to survive the Golas. And Kaviyachol, the Eibush is waving goodbye to us at the train station, not knowing if he's going to ever see us again, because what's going to happen to the Yidden in Golas? And it brought out tremendous hergeshim of ahava. Hayoytze l'derech tzorech lifkad ez eshtay. And that's what the Nachrim saw. They walked into the Heichol, they saw that the Kruven were Me'urim Zeh B'Zeh. It's because there was such an unbelievable manifestation of ahava that it resulted in ayoytze l'derech tzarech lifkad ez eshtay. So before the Nachrim came in, it was pneyam alav bayis. And if they would have came in a year earlier, and 2 years, and 3 years, all the years that Yirmiyahu HaNavi was giving teichacha, and all the years of bayis sheni with the tzedukim and heard this, they were controlling the Beis HaMikdash, it would have been pneyam alav bayis, no question. But that moment, the moment of churban, the moment of saying goodbye, that brought out ahava. The ahava of ayoytze l'derech tzarech lifkad ez eshtay, and that's what the Nachrim saw. So Pinchas Karitzer said that we know Chazal say it's an Icha Rabbah, that B'Tisha B'Av Noilet Ben David, that Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. He said, what's the Oymek? Why was he born on Tisha B'Av? He said, because Tisha B'Av is the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. That was the day that Klai Yisrael were Yoytze L'Derech. And even though it was the day of Churban, but there was a tremendous ahava that Hashem felt towards us. Because when you say goodbye, it comes with ahava. That's just the nature of it. That's the way it is. And at that time, the ahava that Otzich Ketan in the El Yoynim, the Zivug in the El Yoynim, which was symbolized in the Kruven being Me'urim Zem Zeh, it was such a Zivug Ruchni, it was so fest in terms of the ahava, that what came from that zibug, the leda, was none other than Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben David was the product of what the Nachrim saw when they walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They saw a zibug, they saw Me'urim Zeh B'Zeh, but what they saw was a physical manifestation of something that was happening on a much more spiritual level. What was it in the Tiefkeit? What was it that they saw? What they saw was Mashiach ben David. The Bnei Sascha goes weiter, agav, only because we just mentioned this the other day. He says that the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, Rebbe wanted to be Oikah Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says he wanted to be Oikah Tisha B'Av, but it's for sure a havamin of a Gemara that Rebbe wanted to be Oikah Tisha B'Av. So how's that even possible? He said because Tisha B'Av is the day of the Churban. But Chazal said that on Tisha B'Av, Mashiach ben David was born. Chazal say, Noilad ben, Nesrapik kol ha-mishpacha. And Rebbe felt that even though there was a Churban, but there was a Noilad Ben on Tisha B'Av, it was none other than Mashiach ben David. This was the Refuah Kodem L'Maka on Tisha B'Av. It was Nesrapik kol ha-mishpacha. And that was where Rebbe was coming from. This is a Helig of Bnei Yisrael and Maimer Gimel. He says that's what he wanted to be, Oikah Tisha B'Av, because he felt it was a Bechina Noilad Ben Nesrapik kol ha-mishpacha. The truth is, this idea that the Bnei Saskha brings from the Magid, and he brings from a Pinchas Karitzer, so Rav Tzadik HaKoyin, and Tzidkas HaTzadik, and in Pre-Tzadik, he talks about it as well. He says that you find there were certain levels that the Yidden reached when they were in Golas. So for example, the Yidden, when we were Mekabel the Torah the first time, we were Mekabel the Torah Ba'inus. Kafaleim Harka Gigas. Then the Yidden went into Eretz Yisrael, and they were there for 440 years before the Beis HaMikdash was built. And then another 410 years during Ba'is, 900 and all these years, and there was no Kabbalah Satayra Bahava. When did the Kabbalah Torah Bahava happen? It happened in Bavel. It happened in Paras Umadai. After the story of Purim, so Chazal say Kimu v'Kiblu, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar, and it was Hadir Kiblu b'Imei HaChashverosh, but this time they were Mekabel Torah Bahava. So even though originally it was Mekabel Torah V'Lei Reis, Mekabel Torah Ba'Oinis, but the second time the Yidim were Mekabel Torah, they were Mekabel Bahava. So Rav Tzadik HaKohen, a pre-tzadik, it's in Chag HaSukkos, if you want to look it up, Sifkot Yud Ches. So he says that what's the pshat? He says, I understand. Why were they Davka Mekabel the Torah Bahava? In Golas, all the years, close to 1,000 years in Eretz Yisrael, they were never Mekabel the Torah Bahava. When they went to Golas, that's where they were Mekabel the Torah Bahava. So he says, because absence makes the heart grow fonder. Doesn't say that, but in Reb Tzadik Sprach, he says, because when the Yidden were in Eretz Yisrael, they were together with the Shekhinah. Every day was another day. And then when you lose it, then you realize what you lost. And that brings out the Hergeshim and the Gaguim of Ahava. So he says it was the first time the Yidden went to Golas. They went to Bavel and there was a little bit of adversity and they were safe. And it just brought out this Ahava, because sometimes distance is what brings out Ahava. And that's what happened to the Bnei Yisrael. And it was Dafka when they were in Golas. It's Dafka over there that it was Hadik Kimblu B'Mei HaChashverosh. It says Torah there that we say in the Nusach of the Sukkah, Yiratzen Kishenichnasim L'Sukkah. So B'schus Tseisi Mibesi HaChutza Chashev Li B'zois Kilo Herchakti Nodud. And there's a Loshen in this Chayavti Golas Yechoshav Li Kilo Herchakti Nodud. It says the Sukkah is Golas. How could the sukkah be golos? The sukkah is yoishu b'seiser elyoy, b'tzel shaka yisloinon. How could that be golos? A mitzar is doch potem in a sukkah. If that's golos, then you're mitzar. Mitzar is even potem in a sukkah. So Reb Tzadik has this whole idea that in golos, sometimes a person can come closer to the Eibishter that you can even come to when you're in Eretz Yisrael. Because of this idea, because fakert, sometimes the absence makes the heart grow fonder. The soid of yoitzel derech tzarech lifker is ishtoy. The soid, says Reb Tzadik, of Mashiach ben David was born on Tisha B'Av. Because sometimes when the separation that brings out Ahava, and that Ahava can lead to unbelievable things. And he says, you see the Yidden when they were in Golas, they did unbelievable things, and the Tanoim, and it all happened in Tkufas of Golas. Because as much as there was less Shechina in Golas, but precisely because there was less Shechina in Golas, that created an absence, and the absence actually resulted in there being more Ahava. That's what he says. Fascinating. So we're in Eretz Yisrael, there's more Shechina. There's more Kedusha. When we're in Golos, there's less Shechina and less Kedusha. But because there's less Shechina and less Kedusha, that's good for why there's more Ahava. Because that's the way it works. Because absence makes the heart grow fonder. So said Rav Pinchas Karitzer, and the Magid Mezrich, and the Bnei Yisoscher, and Rav Tzadik HaKoyim Milablin, and all the Tzadikim, they all said the same idea. That the Yisoid of B'Shoshebo Nachrim Lehechel, when the Nachrim came into the Hechel, Matsu Kruvim Urim Zebezeh. Ida Gemara says in Baba Basra, Tzadik Tesam and Aleph, that when Ein Oisim Ritzayin Shalmakim, it was Pneim El Abayis. So how you talking that Davke at this time, which you would think is the lowest of low times, it would be Urim Zebezeh. The Teret is, it's true. And it's you talking that before the Nachrim entered, it was Pneim El Abayis. But at that moment, the moment of Churban, this was a moment of Hayyotzel Aderech, Tzarek Livkeit is Ishtoi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachu was saying goodbye to his children, to his Kindalach, that we're going to go on a long, long journey of Golas through Europe and through Spain and through Sfarad and through Poland and Hungary and all over the world and America. He was saying goodbye to them. He was sending them on that trip. It brought out such a geshem of Ahava that the way it manifested itself was that they were Ma'urim Zebezeh, that Ahava was a manifestation of a Zivug Elyoim, and the result of that Zivug Elyoim was the Leid of Mashiach ben David, and that's what Chazal mean when they say that Mashiach ben David was born at that point. But it's a phenomenal Yesoid, and that is that in Golos, not only do we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only does Hashem love me in Golos, and do we have this relationship of Ahava with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in a way, in Golos, the Ahava is felt even more. Ayin Shom B'Rav Tzadik and in the Sfarim HaKadoshim. So just to end with one Ha'ara, and this is really very much Me'inyan Le'inyan to some of the Gemaras that we saw in today's Daf. The Rambam, in the end of Hilchas Tshuva, this is in Perek Yud Halacha Gimel, so he describes the Madrega of Ahavas Hashem. And the Rambam says, quote, every word in this Rambam is L'shoyne Yazah. V'keitzad hi Ahava HaRe'uya. What's the Madrega of Ahava that a person's supposed to have for Hashem? Hu sheyeves Hashem, Ahava Gidoyla, Yiseira, Rab, Aza, Ad Ma'od. Listen to these L'shoyne. It's not Ahava Soylem, it's not Ahava Rab. It's Ahava Gidoyla, Yiseira, Rab, Aza, Admoid, Achate Nafshik Shura Bahavas Hashem. A person's nefesh literally connected to the nefesh of Hashem. Vinimsa Shaige Batamid. He's obsessed with it. It's if he's sick with love. If someone's a chayle me'ahava for an isha, so ain't daitei pnuya me'ahavas leisa isha. Shu boiga batamid. He thinks about her all the time. Bein b'shifta when he's sitting, bein b'kumi when he's standing, bein b'shachu oichem v'shoisa when he's eating and drinking. Yes, he is. And more than that, tiahavas Hashem b'leiv ahava. A person's ahava of Hakadosh Baruch Hu should be more than the ahava a person has for an isha. Shoygim batamid. K'mayishet zivanu b'chal levavcha u'v'chal nafshcha u'v'chal me'edach busha shleima oimed derech mashal. This is what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said derech mashal ki choylas ahava oni. That he's literally sick from ahava. What does it mean he's sick from ahava? Shoyge batamid. Bein b'shiftoi, bein b'kumoi, bein b'shashu oichel v'shois, and it's even yesem yizeh, ti ahavas Hashem. And then the Rambam says, v'chol shir hashirim mashal hu le'inyin zeh. The whole shir hashirim is a mashal to this ahava that he is supposed to have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, the Nachrim didn't understand that. They entered the Heichal, and they saw the Kruvim, they were Me'urim Zeh B'Zeh, and they saw an Erev V'Digah Inyan. But the truth is, what they were witnessing was the Mashal of Shir HaShirim. That's what they were witnessing. But there's a Nimshal to Shir HaShirim. And the Nimshal was Ahavas Hashem. And although the Mashal, at first glance, sometimes even feels like almost inappropriate, but the truth is, the Nimshal of Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadoshim. Rabbi Akiva said, all the songs are Kodesh, but the song of Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadoshim. Now, why Chazal chose to describe Ahavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way, so this is above our pay grade. But the reality is, Shir HaShirim is a Mashal, and what the Nachum saw was the Mashal, but Kemuvan, with their Ervadiga eyes, they had no way of seeing the Nimshal of Shir HaShirim in the Mashal that they saw. But just, I saw one beautiful Ha'ara today. I have a sefer, it's called L'Doifkei B'Tshuva. So the sefer L'Doifkei B'Tshuva is a Mishneh Berurah style pirish on the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. It was written by a very chashuv yid in Eretz Yisrael, Reb Uri Tiger, and the sefer is very unique because it has hagoyes from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So Rabbi Tiger gave the sefer to Reb Chaim for a haskama, and Reb Chaim didn't just give him a haskama, he went through the sefer, literally, line by line, and he wrote ha'aris on the sign, very short ha'aris, k'darka b'koydesh ha'maran ha'goyin Reb Chaim Kanievsky shlita, but at the same time, he wrote ha'aris on the side. So on this Rambam right here in the sefer, l'doivkei b'tshuva, so the Rambam says, v'ketzadi ahava, what's the ahava that a person's supposed to have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's supposed to be ahava g'doyla, yisera, Azameoid. It's like the most extreme adjective after adjective after adjective describing the sensation, the hergish of this ahava. Says the Rambam, what's the makar to this ahava? Where do you find this? The makar is v'husha shloima amar derech mashal. This is what Shloima Melech meant when he said derech mashal ki chilas ahava ani. Shloima Melech said, I'm chilas ahava. I'm sick with ahava. He was describing this intense level of ahava, which the Rambam b'lashoni avzov says ahava gedoyla yisera azam me'oid. This is the Rambam's ki chilas ahava ani. See, he said a davar nifla. He said that you know what that pasuk is ki chilas ahava ani. So it's in Shir HaShirim. It's Perek Beis Pasuk Hei. The Pasuk says, Samchuni ba'ashishois, Raptuni batapuchim, ki cholas ahava oni. So translate this into English. Like one who is sick and needs flasks of wine and the fragrant smell of apples to revive him. Samchuni ba'ashishois, I need wine in order, Samchuni, to give me support, give me chizik. Raptuni batapuchim, I need the smell of apples to be revived. So I'm continuing in English. Sustain me in exile because I am alone and pine for your love. This is the pasuk based on the way Rashi explains the pasuk. Like one who is sick and needs flasks of wine and the fragrant smell of apples to revive him, sustain me in exile because I am alone and pine for your love. So he said, this pasuk of Kichalas Ahava Ani, Shloima Melech, is talking to, this is the doidi, but it's still the mashal of Shir HaShirim, is when I'm in exile. It happened when I was in Galus. See, he said, quote, Geder azam ma'oy nilmad mikra de chaylas ahava anema b'shir ashirim. U'kmei shakasa rabbeinu b'samach. V'ahava zu oyla ala ahava shahoyse b'zman shahoyi b'y samik tushkayim. V'yisro yoshu ish tachas gafnoi v'tachas teinosoi. V'chaylas ahava zu hi davku b'zman agolos. Sha'oz knesses yisro b'matzov shal gagui ahava l'akadosh baruch hu v'hiyo ahava ahazo. The ultimate level of ahava that a person can have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, ki chaylas ahava ani, if you look up the pasuk inside, it's talking about when the Yidden are in Golus, and they turn into Hashem and sustain me when I'm in Golus. because kicholos ahava oni, because the Eibishter, I'm poshut so sick because of my ahava towards you. But the highest level of ahava comes dafkin golos. Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote a hagah on the side of this. He wrote one word, yofa, beautiful. Vehein hein advarim, it's taka beautiful. That the greatest level of ahava comes out when? When we're in Golas, when we're in Shuyin al Admasan, so there's Kedusha and there's Shechina, and there's no question that comes with a lot of Madregas. But in terms of, does Hashem love us when we're in Golas, when the world seems bleak, and when anti-Semitism's on the rise, and the world seems to be falling apart underneath our eyes? So what does that mean as it relates to the Ahava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us? We say every day, Ahava Soilam, some people say Ahava Rabba, but when we're in Golas, it's a different level. It's Ahava Gedoyla, it's Yesera, it's Rabba, Aza, Admoid. That's the Madrega of Ahava. Because it's Dafka when we're in Golas. It's Dafka when we're in a state of being absent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're away, we're scattered all over the world. It brings out certain Gaguim of Ahava that we didn't have when we were Shruyin al Admasa. In fact, from all the Psukim and Shir HaShirim that the Rambam zeroed in on, to bring out this point, this Pasuk after Pasuk, every Pasuk, if you don't know Shir HaShirim, sort of sounds the same. And the one Pasuk that the Rambam took out, that brings out this great state of Ahava between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dafka Pasuk that describes the matziv of the Yidden in Galus.